Well, good morning, Saints. Welcome on this cold Sunday morning. I know the Word of God is going to warm us up. Amen? Amen. Well, over the last month, actually, it's probably been a month for sure, we've been studying on the importance of praying in the Spirit. And I sincerely believe that, and as I've taught over the last 3 or 4 weeks, that at the hour in which we live in, it is important. It is of utmost importance. And if it's something that the Lord has given us, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take everything that God has for me. Amen? And this isn't something that we have to earn or strive after. It's a gift. It's a gift that Jesus has given us through the Holy Spirit for our benefit. You know, it's not something that we do to as an exercise to earn brownie points with God, but it is given to us for our benefit. And so I don't want to downplay that in any way. It is vitally important. I see it actually as the key that unlocks the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. I want to remind us, first of all, that praying in the Spirit is not necessarily the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit isn't praying in tongues. Somehow people think that there is some that think that once you pray in the Spirit, that's all there is. That's how you see the Holy Spirit, as this utterance that comes out of you. Now, like I said, I don't ever want to downplay that, because that is vitally important, and that's all a big part of it. Okay? But there's so much more to the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about. I'm going to do part one this morning. I'm going to be using a lot of scriptures, and I want to just maybe show you the Holy Spirit, maybe in a little bit of a different light as to how we have seen him. And in fact, many people don't see or even have a picture of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus we do, because he is described. You know, we know he was about 5'11", and he was very average in build and height, and he had light brown hair and, you know, very pointed features on his face, and that's what we're told. So when we think of Jesus, we think of Jesus with the brown, right? Isn't that what your imagination, you paint a picture in your mind? When we see God the Father, we see him sitting on a throne, because the Bible depicts him as sitting on the throne, but he doesn't have gray hair. It doesn't tell us in the Bible that he has gray hair. He's young. God the Father is a young man. He's not old. So we need to change the hair color when we imagine God the Father to having brown hair. And but the Holy Spirit, what do you see when you think of the Holy Spirit? Because he really is not depicted. He's a spirit. And so the Bible doesn't explain a picture of him to us. And so it's kind of like we just think of I'm not sure what you think of. I mean, in one instance, he's resembling a dove, and then it's a mighty strong wind, and then it's fire, and then it's water flowing. So the Holy Spirit is depicted in so many ways in the Bible, and you know, and each one of them is, you know, so how did you see the Holy Spirit? But the Spirit is God. The Spirit is the third person. He is a person. And I want to talk about this person and what he means to all of us this morning. So, like I've been teaching over the last couple of weeks, that praying in the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, as he gives you the utterance, I believe, is the means by which we enter in to the fullness of the Spirit, or the fullness of Christ, because the Spirit is Christ. And we know, and we've been learning, especially in the Bible study that we've been having with us on Tuesday, that all good things, all the fullness of Christ, it comes via or through the means of the Holy Spirit, and is received by us through our what? Through our faith. The just are to live by faith. We're called to live by faith. So in our natural minds, we are so dull. How many of us can say amen to that? We are so blind to the spiritual world. And what I want to drive home today is that without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't even know God. Remember, Jesus said, unless the Spirit draw you, you can't even come to the Father. And somehow we don't understand the glory, the magnificence, the wonder of the Spirit that God has given us. Because without Him, you could not know God. We are so spiritually blinded, so dull, it could be right in front of our eyes and we wouldn't see it. Without Him, we couldn't even come to God to comprehend Him or even really know who He is. Let's turn this morning. We're going to begin. And like I say, we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures. I want us to open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, which we saw from last week was the biggest church. It was the first church he began and the biggest church that he started. He begins, I want to pick it up in verse 9, where Paul says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, if without the Holy Spirit's help, we can't even know God, how in the world could we know the things that he has prepared for us? The Bible tells us here that eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things are of a man, except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God knows. But we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things we speak, not in the words of which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So this morning I want to open up our eyes even a little bit more so that you and I can truly see how God works in our lives through the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit should mean to us, and how great a blessing the Holy Spirit is in each one of our lives. How precious, how perfect in every area is this gift. We sometimes take the Holy Spirit for granted. We don't think about him much during the day. But if you only knew what he is doing in your life. And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. So praying in the Spirit is not all that he is about. He is much, much more. And if only our eyes could be opened up, and I believe that, like I said, this is only part one. We're going to see part two next week, to just see the ministry, the fullness of what God has given us. So in verse 14, let's pick it up. It says, we have read that the natural mind, or man, pardon me, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Or you can maybe look at it this way for a better understanding, the flesh man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? That means that if you are not born of the Spirit, your flesh mind, that means the way the natural man thinks, you could never see God nor understand anything about him. Why? Because God is spiritually discerned. His word is spiritually discerned. So any person that is not born of the Spirit cannot know God or the things of God, the things he's freely given us. But if any man be in Christ, he is born of the Spirit. So now the Bible tells us the Spirit we have been given is not the spirit of fear, again unto bondage, but it is the Spirit of Christ himself. We have the Spirit from God. We cannot know him except by his Spirit. And it's this Holy Spirit that draws us to God. And it's the same Spirit who opens up your eyes to see him and to know him. Now, I'm going to make reference to what I said last week because I want to show us something else the Holy Spirit has shown me for this morning's word. And we were teaching out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 last week. I think we also took it in Bible study as well. Galatians 3, 13. And we should all know this scripture by heart already. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. What does that mean? It means Jesus went to the cross. He became a curse. He became our curse. The curse that was on our lives. The curse that you and I had to pay off. Why? Because we sinned. We broke the law. And if you break the law, there's a curse. And he hung there and he became the curse for us. Why? To deliver us from the curse. Why did he deliver us from that curse? Why did he hang there? There was two reasons. Number one, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Number one reason, the blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? What's the blessing of Abraham? Abraham believed God, and his faith was accredited to him as righteousness. That's the number one reason that Jesus took our curse, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the blessing of Abraham was righteousness, not by your good works, but by your faith in God. Okay, that was the number one blessing. Jesus went to that cross for us to pay off a sin debt. A debt, remember this, a debt you can never pay or you could never have paid. Now remember, we're talking about the blessing of Abraham. And all throughout scriptures, there's analogies given from the old to the new. We know that the old is a type and a shadow of the new. And what the Holy Spirit showed me was the life in to do with what I'm sharing, that it was a debt you cannot pay. It's impossible for you to pay it off in the natural without Jesus and his blood. And what the Holy Spirit showed me was this, and it had to do with the life of Sarah and Abraham. And he said, as impossible as it was in the flesh for Sarah and Abraham at the age of 100 years old to have a baby, and even take into consideration that Sarah, not only could she not have a baby at the age of 100, but she was barren her whole life. She never, ever could have had a baby, even when she was younger. And now all of a sudden they're 100 years old. And now through Abraham and Sarah, they're going to have a baby. Okay, how possible is that in the natural? It is impossible. Impossible. As impossible as that is, so is it, the Holy Spirit said to me. The reason that's written that way is showing us how impossible it is for you to earn your own salvation, to become righteous through your own efforts or your own works. And we need to be settled in that, that I cannot, any more than I can be have a baby at the age of 100. When I was barren my whole life. And we know that Sarah represents the church, right? Sarah represents the church. And the Lord was showing me that even as Sarah could never have become pregnant, nor can we become righteous without Jesus. So when you and I believe that Jesus paid off our sin debt at the cross, Abraham believed God that he would have a baby, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. And when you and I, on the flip side, believe that Jesus paid off our sin debt at the cross, now that is accredited to you as righteousness. Instantly, you become the righteousness of God. How simple. My goodness. How wonderful. All you and I have to do is believe that Jesus paid off our debt, a debt we could not pay off. So the blessing of Abraham is the righteousness that is of faith. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of Jesus. He himself, the Bible says, Jesus himself washed us and cleansed us in his own blood. How clean do you think you are? If he himself did it, we didn't do it. We didn't take the blood and wash ourselves and miss a spot. If Jesus himself shed his own blood and then washed us in that blood, how clean do you think you are? You're very clean. He made us the righteousness of God in his own blood. Now, I want us to go back to verse 14 of Galatians chapter 3. So the first thing is that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, which was the righteousness which is by faith. But the second thing is that we've been made righteous so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That's the second thing. First of all, the righteousness which is by faith. Secondly, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus said in the Gospels, it is expedient that I go away to the Father. Otherwise, the promise will not come. What promise is that? The promise of the Spirit. Now, I want us to turn to John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. Because I want us to have a broad understanding of all that the Spirit has been sent for, what he is to you and me, and even a greater understanding of some of the things Jesus said. In John chapter 7, we know Jesus stood up on that last great day of the feast, and he shouted, if any man thirst, come unto me and drink. But in verse 38 of John chapter 7, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. We know that's the Holy Spirit flowing out of us through our mouth, through our praying in the Spirit. Verse 39 is where I want to go. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, a lot of us read that scripture and we really don't get it. The Holy Spirit was not yet given at that point. Jesus was basically prophesying about the promise that the Father was going to send, but he hadn't come yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. So as long as Jesus was on the earth, all the things had not yet been fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit could not come until Christ was what? Seated in the heavens at the right hand of God, far above all principality, power, might, dominion. And he had been given a name that is far above all names. In other words, the Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus himself had entered into, he'd been either glorified, I like to look at it this way, until Jesus had finally entered into his inheritance. As long as Jesus was on the earth, he still had not entered into his inheritance. He took his own blood and he went back to heaven with his own blood and he washed the heavenly sanctuary with his own blood. After it was accepted, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high and he became heir of all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I want you to listen carefully as I tie these scriptures together, because I'm going somewhere here today. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, speaking about Jesus and him being glorified. It says this, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in divers means different, in different manners spoke in the times past unto the fathers, how? Through the prophets. Has in these last days, verse 2, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed, what? heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, being, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the expression of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, by himself, don't you love that? He didn't need your help. When he by himself had purged your sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus had to take his blood back to heaven to purge your sins. And he sprinkled it on the altar on the mercy seat in heaven. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance he hath obtained a more excellent name than they. So, question, what has Jesus' inheritance got to do with us and with the Holy Spirit today? Has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Anybody doubt that Jesus has inherited all things? He is the heir of all things? No, I don't think we have a problem with that. We know Jesus was raised up, seated together with God, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that can be named in this world and also in which is to come. We know that. We believe that. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Very well-known scripture. Love to quote it. I've been blessed with all blessings in heavenly places. Drop to verse 11 now. In whom? Who's it speaking about? In Jesus. We have been blessed, first of all, with all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places. In whom also, in Jesus also, we have obtained what? An inheritance. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Remember that we looked at it last week, the scripture, it's where the scripture says that the Holy Spirit works out all things for your good. This is speaking of the same, making reference to the same thing. He worketh out all things after the counsel of his own will, and his own will is good. In whom also, verse 13, you trusted. After that you heard the word of truth. We heard the gospel, message of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, died on our behalf, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In whom also you trusted, after you had heard that word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you believed, then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, remember we're talking now this morning about the Holy Spirit of promise. The first thing was Jesus became that curse that we might receive the blessing of Abraham, that we might receive the promise, which was the Holy Spirit. We just looked at that back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Now here it says, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, after you became the righteousness of God in Christ, now you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest or the guarantee or the down payment of what? Your inheritance. Now remember, we're talking about, I'm working this all in. I'm talking about your inheritance this morning. Verse 13. In verse 13, he's referred to the Holy Spirit of promise. And we just saw from Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ. We might be made righteous, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. The old covenant, we know, is only a shadow and a type of the new covenant. We just said that. And God gave promise to Abraham. Does anybody here know what that promise was? Because this is talking about Abraham, the righteousness which is of faith, He believed God. But what was the promise God gave to Abraham? Many people would say, oh, well, he promised him a son. Was that the promise? Mm-mm. That wasn't the promise. We know what the promise to Abraham was. It's written in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Romans 4, 13. It says this, for the promise that Abraham should be the heir of the world. This promise was not just to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through what? The righteousness which is of faith. So, let's wrap this all up. The blessing of Abraham was the righteousness that's imputed to us by our faith in the blood and in the cross of Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is really, what was the promise that was given to Abraham? Because we have the real thing. Remember, he just has a type and a shadow. Abraham was promised that he would become an heir of the world. What is the promise to us? What is the reality? He just had a shadow. We have the reality. We have the Holy Spirit. So you can put it this way. The Holy Spirit is your inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the world to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you have the Holy Spirit, I want you to see the connection between the promise of Abraham and the promise of the Father in the new covenant. In other words, to have the Holy Spirit is to have the inheritance of the whole world. Do you know what we have in the Holy Spirit? When we're trudging through this world and thinking, oh man, I just wish I had a little more. But that's okay. Someday in the sweet vine. Do you know what we have? I don't think we do. We don't even have, like the Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard what has been given to you. I mean, we look back at Abraham and we think, wow, look how God blessed him. Do you know how much, much, much more in the new covenant you are blessed? You have the reality of what Abraham had in the Old Testament. And in every way, Abraham was blessed. I mean, financially, he was rich. He was never sick, according to the scriptures. He had a blessed life. We have so much more. And if you just focus on the scriptures and just try to see beneath what's really written here, the Holy Spirit is not just praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your inheritance. It is the world to you. It is the promise that even, I believe, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse, I'm not sure exactly which verse it's in, it says that the fathers of old, the prophets of old, longed. They looked into this. They saw it. And they wanted to know at what time this was going to happen. To those that were blessed to have the very Spirit of God living in them. They understood it far more than we do. And it wasn't even for their day. It was for us. Do you know what you have? The Holy Spirit has been really dealing with me. Very, very. I mean, you know, God corrects his children. He disciplines them. And this is where I just really feel and sense in this last while, I've been told to just really dig into this thing. What have you got? What have you got? So to have the Holy Spirit is to you your inheritance. Now you are an heir of the whole world. And I know it's so hard for us to see this truth in the light of how we see ourselves. Remember I said before, the natural man cannot know or understand the things of God. And in the natural, we just don't get this. I mean, we get little, like the Bible says, we see dimly. We get little bits and pieces. But, oh, I don't know about you, but I want to see more. I want to see who I am. I want to see who you are. Because you have the same Holy Spirit that I do. And I know it's hard for us to see ourselves in this world when we look around in the light of this truth. And it's hard also to see that the Holy Spirit is that to us. In light of or in view of how we see the Holy Spirit. because we've been very blinded even to seeing him and who he is and what he is all about. But what I'm trying to say here this morning is if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have everything. Everything. There is not even one small thing that you have need of in this life. Romans chapter 8, verses 15, 16, and 17. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God does not give an inheritance like we give to our children, where we leave money in the bank or we have lands, you know, whatever that we give to our children, or maybe beautiful houses, vehicles, whatever, all these assets that we leave to our children. That's not how God gives us our inheritance. You've got to understand God's ways and the means by which he gets things into your hands. Yes, physical things. That is the fruit of our inheritance, is finances and a beautiful home. And I mean, those things, really, at the end of the day, they're so minuscule in comparison to the true value of what we have, which is the Holy Spirit shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts. There is nothing that can compare to the value of that. Okay, so let's, you know, but I'm just saying, all of the things that we think of as an inheritance, we usually think of the physical things, the things of the physical life. Okay, and they're all included, definitely. So it says here, we have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy. Without the Holy Spirit, we could not know God as our Father or as our daddy Father. We would only know him as God, who the judge. And all of us would be super afraid of him. Okay, that's one. The first thing the Holy Spirit shows us is that he is our daddy. Verse 16. But it is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that you indeed are the children of God. Without that, you could never know that. You could never know you were a child of God. Then it goes on to say in verse 17, and if you are a child, if you are children of God, then you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you know that the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings, he comes in, he opens up your eyes to see this truth. This is your inheritance. This is life, eternal life. Because the promise, what must I do to inherit the promise of eternal life? It's spoken of sometimes, and the interpretation of the eternal life or of the inheritance is given in the Bible as eternal life. John 17:3. Can anybody quote it for me? The revelation the Holy Spirit brings into our lives is eternal life. John 17:3, it says this, now this is eternal life, to know the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel message is the power of God unto salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that you need to shine that light into you, to show you the truth. That is eternal life. This vessel, this earthen vessel, the treasure you have on the inside, the light, the illumination of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that is eternal life. That's the most precious and valuable thing you own, is the revelation of Jesus. And that's why I say God doesn't give us things the way the world. I mean, we'd love it if God would rain down money from heaven. But God works in your spirit. Why? Because that's why he said the just must live by faith. And if you can see it, you can have it. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. I've said that so many times. Who shows it to you? The Spirit. The Spirit shows it to you. We don't even know how necessary and how important and how every blessing that has ever come into your life has been through that avenue. He's opened up your eyes, you believed it, and it was manifested. That's how God works. That's what faith is. And without the Holy Spirit, you couldn't have any faith. That's the way he works. Without the Spirit, we could not know God, much less any of his good things. The Holy Spirit, you've got to remember, was very faithful in the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit worked through him, did all kinds of signs and wonders. Jesus kept saying, it's not me, it's my Father who works in me. And if my Father is at work, I must be at work as well. He was directed by the Spirit. And then that same Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and brought him where? Took him from the lowest depths and took him to the highest heights. He brought him back to glory. Remember Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer, Father God, you know, glorify me, bring me back to that state of glory that I was before I left. Now, he's been given to each and every one of us personally to do the same thing. Jesus is now glorified, and now the Holy Spirit has been released to accomplish, to bring to pass in your life everything that he did with Jesus. Remember Jesus said in Hebrews, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 2, where it says that he became like us. Jesus took on flesh and became in the likeness of us. Why? To bring many sons back to glory. He's the firstborn of the dead. He is the first fruit. And we follow. And it was the Holy Spirit in his life that did all of this. Even though he was God, he was dependent on the Holy Spirit, just like we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. So my point is, let him work. Let him work. Trust him. That's what he's here for. And next week, we're going to talk more about how we grieve him in areas where we would never even see it. So he's been given to each one of us personally. Can you imagine? God could have sent him onto the earth and he would have. Aren't you glad that, you know, when I need his help, he's not over at Diana's place helping Diana and I got to wait for him to come over to, as long as Jesus was on the earth, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But wherever Jesus went, he couldn't be at every place at one time. But we have the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. And when God looks down at the earth and sees his body, oh my goodness, can you imagine the glory he sees already on the earth? Because there's so many of us that have the Spirit, the glory. And we might be at different stages in our lives, but the self-same Spirit is working in each one of us to accomplish the same thing as he did in Christ, that we might be transformed into the image, the very image of the glorified Christ. And my question is, are we going to let him? Are we going to let him? Once we have an understanding of what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. I don't know, sometimes we get the idea that we're just, oh, Holy Spirit, help me, please. And then we think that he's only helping us because we're begging him. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to understand his heart. He wants to take you, and I mean, we already are. It's already finished. We are already seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He wants to make that a reality for you. And he's been given to us personally to do the same thing as he did in the life of Jesus, to raise us up and inherit the glory or inherit all things in Christ. But, we have many scholars and churches, probably more than not, that don't disagree with anything that I am saying except for the timeline. Oh, yes, that's when we all go to heaven. We'll all be glorified. But here's my question. If the glorification and if eternal life and if all of the things that Jesus died to give us is not for the here and the now in this life, then why would we need the Holy Spirit? Do you understand? Why would we need the baptism? The baptism is for that specific reason. You see, when we got born again to receive the blessing of Abraham, which was the righteousness of God by faith, that's number one, okay? That was for our eternal, that was for our spirit. We became alive unto God. Our spirits became righteous. We were taken from darkness. We were connected to the Spirit. We were one spirit in the Lord. That's the first step. Now, if this is for the future, then tell me why the Holy Spirit was given. Because I'm going to tell you something. You don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit in heaven. You don't need him to open up your eyes to see the truth about God. You don't need him to flow through your physical body with power, because there's no power needed in heaven to cast out demons or to lay hands on the sick. You don't need him to open up the eyes of your understanding so that your mind can be renewed according to the truth. Okay, you don't need all of that. You don't need a heavenly prayer language in heaven. You're going to know all things. You're going to see all things. All things are yours. The reality is there. You don't need the baptism in heaven. The baptism is specifically for this world, that we might have eternal life even in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. The Holy Spirit wants to bring the revelation of who Jesus is, the glory of Christ. He is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He wants to bring that even in this life. Now, if you miss out on it, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the full understanding of what God and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, you are still going to live this life and pass on and be in glory. But oh my goodness, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about next week's sermon. We don't want to let that happen. If God calls us today and says, you have been made an heir of the world today, right now, not just when you get to heaven, then I don't want to miss out on it. I don't want to. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to keep the faith. How about you? Even Jesus needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As long as you're in this earth suit, you're going to need the power, a supernatural power, because you have, this earth is passing away. There is no power in the flesh. It's dead. And you're going to need the supernatural power of God, whom the Holy Spirit also gives. You know, he is the power of God. He's the wisdom of God for your mind. He's the revelation of Jesus. He is all things. He is not just someone who prays through you. He empowers you. He makes you able in every area of your lives, whether it's through your mind, your physical body. He quickens the cells. Oh my goodness, there's just so much he does. And I know that the key to entering into this, having a fuller understanding revelation, is praying in the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I still go back to that and say, yes, you start praying in the Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you personally. Who are you, Holy Spirit? I want to get to know you. I want you to be so close to me. I want to trust you in every area of my life, because I know that when I do that, all fear is gone. And now I begin to really live by the Spirit, because he is working out all things for your good. He is not against you. He is not going to bring anything evil into your life. And we have to trust him completely. The most important thing the Holy Spirit does for us, and this is God's way for us, is to show us. Remember, I started by saying our minds are so dull, we're so blind. He takes the things that are of God, yea, even the deep things, and he shows them to us. You can know things that the world does not know by the Spirit. To know, and I'm going to say something so profound. In order to have faith, then you know that you need faith to have every good thing in this life. You will not ever have faith unless the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. So God has commanded us to live by faith, but He's given us a means through the Holy Spirit that we can live by faith, the God kind of faith. So how does He, in closing this morning, let's go to one last scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. I want us to read from verses 13 to 23. And I want us to see maybe this scripture or these scriptures in a new light this morning. In light of what I've been saying. Because this is a passage of scripture that I know that I have known. This was one of the first passages I ever memorized. Because I was told that if you have loved ones in your life that are not saved, that this is the prayer to pray for them. And I see now even more so than ever how correct that really is. But here's the prayer which the Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. But the prayer is written right after he says the scripture that we just read, that the gospel of your salvation, after you were believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word sealed means enclosed in. You're closed in. No man can pluck you from the Father's hand. You are His forever. I mean, forever. And it says that this Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest means down payment. Okay? God has put the down payment on us. We are His. And nothing is going to come and touch us until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What is the purchase? Your body. That will be fulfilled. The full payment will be made when your body completely becomes glorified. Wow. What a day. What a day. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, this is Paul writing, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places? Is that not what we've been talking about? The Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead and set Him up high above all principality, far above all principality, verse 21 says, power, might, dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet, and He's given Him to be the head over all things. He has inherited all things. For what reason? It says there, to the church. He didn't inherit it for Himself. He inherited it for you. To the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. If Jesus has inherited all things and He's the head, then I guarantee you the body has also inherited all things. We are joint heirs together with Him. But here's the thing, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints is. The Apostle Paul here is praying that the Holy Spirit would open up your eyes to see what you have, the inheritance of the saints in light. What is your, and it says here, what is the exceeding greatness of this power that is working in you who believes? The same power and the same, according to the same, you know, we think of it as the quality of the power, the amazingness of the power. But it's more than that. It's according to the power. It's not only the quality of the power, it's about what the power did in Christ. What did it do? Raise him from the dead, set him at his own right hand. According to what the Holy Spirit has done for Jesus, he's praying that your eyes be opened up and see that that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, if you let him. Do you understand? According to the power that raised Christ from the dead and set him at God's right hand. In that same way, he is now raising up us. Christ is the head, we're the body, but he's raising up the body in the same way. Will we let him? Will we see him in a different light and flow with him? Because if you don't flow with him, he can do nothing. But I'm trying to show us what he's all about in your life, what he's trying to accomplish, and how good he is. And he's all for your good. He's all for your glory. I mean, he's here that we might glorify Jesus. But in the meantime, you're the body of Jesus. And if Jesus is glorified, then guess what? You're part of his body. Amen. So let's not just take for granted just praying in the Spirit, but let's see what the Holy Spirit is doing through our prayers. You know, it helps us to have more faith, and we now can see. We now can see something. You can't have something unless you see it. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what he's actually doing. He'll show you what he's working on in you. He'll show you. He's only too happy when you ask him, open up my eyes, Holy Spirit. Show me these truths. He will. I mean, that's what he's all about. And you may not see it right there and then, but I guarantee you, as days go by, all of a sudden, you start seeing more and more and more. And one thing will tie into another until we get the fullness of who Jesus really is. Amen. That's what he's working out in you. So let's just continue to pray in the Spirit and trust that he shows us more and more and more. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just